From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Happy Memorial Day, and while you may have spent a very relaxing day, whether you are by yourself or with friends and family, just remember the true meaning of this day. We shall in just a moment. And tonight, psychic Joseph Jacobs joins us, followed by Memorial Day Open Lines. By the way, Wednesday night in San Francisco, we start our new affiliate, KKSF, News Talk, 910 a.m. Get ready for one heck of a ride. Here's what's happening. Now, this is something we have long suspected. We were getting reports about things like this, but here's some confirmation. Low levels of nuclear radiation from the tsunami-damaged Fukushima power plant have turned up in bluefin tuna off the California coast, suggesting that these fish carried radioactive compounds across the Pacific Ocean faster than wind or water can. Small amounts of cesium-137 and cesium-134 detected in 15 tuna caught near San Diego. This was in August of 2011, about 4 months after these chemicals were released into the water off of Japan's east coast. The amount of radioactive cesium in the fish is not thought to be damaging to people if consumed, but that's what they say. Newly discovered asteroid 2012 KP24 flew right past planet Earth, only one-tenth the distance to the moon. Amateur astronomer Rolando Legistri photographed the 26-meter space rock during the early hours of May 28th. Measurements of the asteroid's orbit confirmed that there was no danger of a collision with planet Earth. A bizarre story in Miami. A police officer forced to shoot a man to death who was naked, biting off the face of another nude man outside. The guy would not stop eating his face. The police officer fired one shot at him. He kept eating the guy's face until the police officer emptied his revolver, had to kill the guy. 75% of his face virtually gone. Unbelievable. A Canadian man survived being run over by a train when he passed out between railway tracks after a drinking session. There's a miracle for him. He's from Alberta. 26 cars of the train went over him. 26, and he wasn't hurt at all. Speaking at a site for fallen soldiers on Memorial Day, President Barack Obama hailed the winding down of two wars, adding that the country needs to honor its returning vets, as well as friends and family for whom trips to military graves are a very bittersweet routine. And America's newest veterans are filing for disability benefits at a historic rate, claiming to be the most medically and mentally troubled generation of former troops the nation has ever seen. A staggering 45% of the 1.6 million vets from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are now seeking compensation for injuries they say are service-related. Daniel Brinkley, of course, dodging death by three, the Secrets of the Light, also heads up the Twilight Brigade and helps vets. Just about better than anybody I know. Daniel, tell me this story here of these vets coming back, 46% of them seeking benefits. What's wrong?
But, George, you got to realize more than 50% of those who served were National Guard and reservists. They never were planned. And when you start to look, George, that some were deployed six times, and you move into places like Afghanistan and Iraq, and you're in your third, fourth, and fifth deployment, and you are a National Guard or you are a reservist, look what happens. And when you start to look at that and you look at what this is all about, it also has to do with, George, how we see the war. When you rotate back to the world now, we are so disengaged as a society. True. From these elements. These guys cannot reincorporate who they are because nobody understands what they've been through. You know, they have a saying, we said this last time on Veterans Day, America went to Fallujah and America went to the mall. what happens emotionally and psychologically to these guys begins to be so damaging because they lose that value of what like Vietnam was and like Desert Storm was and now Afghanistan and Iraq. We stay too long. They have no way to talk and no one to talk to.
There's no identity with this.
And think of this right now. Yeah, there's no way that people relate to it. They don't want to be bothered with it. And here we know we failed. I mean, we got Osama bin Laden. We destroyed Al-Qaeda. But the Taliban is reinvigorating. And people look, and there's no sense of pride in that service. That is the psychological damage, and plus the wounded. I think that from today, I'm in Spokane, Washington, with one of my Twilight Brigade groups.
Okay.
Because Patty Murray is the head of the Veteran Service Committee in the Senate, and she is the ranking member. And I come to look to see what's happening in the VA and the brand new implementation. It used to be long-term care, George, where they just tell you they were going to take care of you and keep fixing you and keep healing you. But the shift in the last 90 days is to palliative and hospice, much like what the health care bill right now before the Supreme Court says.
Well, you just keep doing what you're doing, Danyon, and keep checking in with us. And it was just so appropriate to have you here this Memorial Day to talk about this, which is truly a national tragedy, what's happening to our troops. Danyon Brinkley, he's got a couple websites, of course, Danyon.com, which you can find linked up at coasttocoastam.com under our search, but also the Twilight Brigade .com, and that's where he helps our returning troops. As a tradition here at Coast to Coast AM, of course, I want to give you this rendering of A Soldier Died Today. He was getting old and punchy, and his hair was falling fast, and he sat around the Legion telling stories of the past, of a war that he had fought in, and the deeds that he had done, and his exploits with his buddies. They were heroes, everyone. And though sometimes to his neighbors his tales became a joke, all his buddies listened, for they knew whereof he spoke. But we'll hear his tales no longer, for old Bob has passed away, and the world's a little poor, for a soldier died today. And no, he won't be mourned by many, just his children and his wife, for he lived an ordinary, very quiet sort of life. He held a job, he raised a family, quietly going on his way, and the world won't notice passing, though a soldier died today. You know, when politicians leave this earth, their bodies lie in state, while thousands note their passing and proclaim that they were great. Papers tell of their life stories from the time that they were young. But the passing of a soldier, it goes unnoticed and unsung. The politician's stipend and the style in which he lives are sometimes disproportionate to the services that he gives. While the ordinary soldier who offered up his all is paid off with a medal, and perhaps a pension, small, so it's easy to forget them, for it was so long ago that our Bobs and Jims and Johnnies and Jessicas went to battle, but we know. It was not the politicians with their compromise employees who won for us the freedom that our country now enjoys. Now, should you find yourself in danger with your enemies at hand, would you really want some cop-out with his ever-waffling stand? Or would you want a soldier who has sworn to defend his home, his kin, his country, and fight until the end? He was just a common soldier, and his ranks are growing thin, but his presence should remind us that we may need his like again. When his countries are in conflict, then we find the soldier's part is to clean up all the troubles that the politicians start. If we cannot do him honor while he's here to hear the praise, then at least let's give him homage at the ending of his days. Perhaps just a simple headline in the paper that might say, "Our country is in mourning, for a soldier died today." And those of you, of course, who have members who have fallen, our deepest condolences to you. Europe is crumbling, China is slowing, yet the biggest threat to the emerging U.S. economy recovery may be Congress. They're still going to be battling about the debt ceiling. They say it could sink the economy. Catherine Austin Fitz with us. Catherine, you know, how much more money can they keep throwing at us? I mean, eventually it's going to blow up, isn't it?
Well, not necessarily, George.
Really?
I think they can throw a lot more if they want. What is the problem is that what the markets and what the rating agencies do not like to see is the inability to govern and lead.
Yes.
Last year when we had this squabble, we had S&P lower the rating. And really, if you track the economy in the polls, it was very it's very devastating for the most powerful country in the world to look like the Howdy Doody show. So I think the the debt limit squabble at the end of this year, the beginning of next year, could be very serious. So it could harm the economy. I think that's true.
We're bumping up against a $16.4 trillion borrowing limit. I mean, I just can't understand how it can go higher. And you're right, Catherine, about the plan. They need to be able to say, look, we're going to tighten things. We're going to reduce budgets. We're going to maybe over, and I've always said this, Catherine, over 20 years, we're going to get rid of the debt in little pieces. Would something like that work?
Here's what I want to see. I want to see budget by eBay. I'd like to see Congress literally invite every county to look at both the discretionary and non-discretionary items in the budget and propose how to re-optimize it by place. There's enormous savings that could happen, but we need to bring the economics of the budget down to people and let them start to make choices and let them start to re-engineer, George, because, you know, the world has changed, and there's a lot that can change with it, and there's a lot of money that can be saved, but you've got to bring it down to an intimate level.
All right. Thanks, Catherine. The New Zealand chapter of a UFO religion said soaring numbers of unidentified flying object sightings across the northern part of the island could be because they're holding a conference, the group, not the UFOs. The Asterius Society is holding a workshop to share messages it claims have come to them from extraterrestrial beings. The society was established in 1955 by George King and has around 650 members worldwide, 25 in New Zealand. Men in Black 3 beats The Avengers at the U.S. box office. Another blockbuster, the action movie made $55 million over the Memorial Day holiday weekend, according to studio estimates. Up next now, sit back and enjoy 2 hours of psychic Joseph Jacobs next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Dorey. Joseph Jacobs, an internationally known psychic. He has counseled thousands and thousands of people since 1982. He has done television programs. He has been on Coast to Coast for a number of years. And I always like to say that Joseph is much more than a psychic. He's very intuitive. Joseph, you're almost like a counselor. How are you?
I am. I'm terrific now. I've had some rough weeks like everyone else, but being on with you is one of my favorite times of the year.
You know, it was good seeing you at David Farman's alchemy event, too.
Yes,
that was fun.
Yeah.
He put on a pretty good event there.
And you've got a lot more coming up. I mean, you've come through a really rough year. Your passage this year is one of the most difficult ones to go through in the cards that I read. But you're coming into a very good year with all sorts of financial choices and to take care of, June 4th through July 25th. New business opportunities that arise, and maybe there's a book in the works towards the end of the year as well.
Maybe, Joseph. Maybe there's something there. What do we look like as a world, as a nation? I mean, everything's up in arms. I mean, what's going on?
Well, let me take you back a little bit. You know, I said February was going to be heavy with flooding and heavy weather conditions, and it was.
It was. It was
all
weird.
Europe, there were records set in Denver, in Texas. There was snow in North Africa, Australia. There were those hurricanes. And I also predicted that April was going to be one of the roughest months of the year. And we had that Air Force crash. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. We had the Texas tornadoes. Somehow, miraculously, nobody was hurt. Then there was the Indonesian quake. So June could have some great dramas. I mean, there could be an increase in military and terrorist activity.
Are you feeling, Joseph, that something huge could happen?
June. I think in June there could be some dramas, but it'll turn out okay towards the end of June.
Well, then it may not be as bad as we think, huh?
I think all of us have had have been shaken since 9/11, and we're waiting for another shoe to drop. Plus, the economy was bad, and the financial situation worldwide is crazy.
What are you feeling, Joseph, and how do you feel this? I mean, when you make these intuitive psychic predictions, how do they come to you?
Well, I'm a Capricorn, so I have to have a structure, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so I look like an architect. I look at the numbers first, you know, the numerology, not like Linus does.
Okay.
Not at all. I'm not a numerologist. But I first look at the numbers, and that tells me something, especially with individuals. I can see relationship issues that may occur or career issues that can occur, because those are my two strong areas, is relationships, family, and career and work and business, as well as why are you here and what are you here to learn, which we can talk about a little bit later.
Well, and as you know, Joseph, wherever I go, my speaking engagements or talking to people on the radio here, everybody universally just simply wants to be left alone. They're tired of this intrusion. They're tired of government getting involved in everything they do. They just want to be left alone. Is there anything wrong with that? I think not.
No, it's just a sense of no control. And that's why we've got vampires and creatures on television, because we feel that we've lost power.
I mean, I had a story right before you came on. You probably heard it when you were on hold. Some guy goes wacky and eats the face off someone else.
Yeah.
Now, to me, the guy must have been on some massive form of drugs. No normal human being could do that. I mean, what's happening?
No, but there is a nervousness, a tension, even with people who are working, people who have jobs. Can you imagine the 27 million who aren't working?
Well, yeah, but with this kind of nervousness and tension, I mean, how do they pull themselves out of it, Joe?
I think each of us has to take a moment every day, as often as you can, take those moments. I do. I grab 5 minutes here, a half an hour there, to just relax and to get beyond the chattering of, I got to do this and I got to do that, and what am I going to do about this, and why did they do that? You got to get beyond that. Take a shower. If you're facing a problem, relax. By tension, you don't move forward, in other words.
Is it easier said than done?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It takes practice, but that's why we're here. We're here to learn, and we're here to develop and refine ourselves so that we can get closer to God.
People want to pull through this, and beyond just relaxing, I mean, is there anything else that they can do in order to, you know, kind of pull themselves out of this mess that they find themselves in?
Well, I think what I'm really talking about is the kind of meditation, and if not formal meditation, rumination, and just to, you know, write down your problems. Sometimes taking care of one thing that you've postponed, one thing that you're sitting on the fence on, one thing that you're afraid of, taking care of that one thing can start a chain reaction of positivity.
Well, there's no doubt.
You know, I very often help people make a decision about what they're indecisive about. And that comes from feelings. You know, after I've got the structure and after I see the potential of what can go right and what can go wrong, when the questions start coming in, because I never ask questions during a reading like other psychics. You know, in fact, I want my people to shut up for 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we can talk. And then in the talk is where my intuition and the inner voice begins to function in relationship to what I see.
Well, Joseph, when we come back in a moment, let's get into some of your predictions for this year and the years ahead. Next hour, we'll take phone calls with you. We've got psychic Joseph Jacobs for 2 hours before we do special Memorial Day open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and I'll be right back. And welcome back to Coast, Joseph Jacobs with us. Of course, we'll take calls with Joseph next hour. Joseph, do you find that people are beginning to awaken?
Oh, very much so. I kind of sense even in many of my clients that their intuition is awakening. We are going through an awakening period and a kind of rebirthing, I think, worldwide. And, I mean, the Arab Spring, for instance, although that's not going to lead to much success, by the way. I see a lot of difficulty in the Middle Eastern countries.
I mean, Egypt
except
alone.
Except Tunisia will come
there.
Through. Where it started will come through. But Egypt could be a bit of a problem. And then, of course, Syria. I mean, here you've got a doctor running the country. He never heard of do no harm, you know?
Well, just hours ago in Egypt, they set ablaze the offices of one of Mubarak's strongmen, who is, one of two possible candidates
running. Yeah. So, one of the things in the Middle East, and it's been a savior to Israel in a sense, is that there's so many factions that hate each other, and I mean they hate us because of the Crusades, and it goes back hundreds of years. The Sunnis and the Shiites and then the various tribes and the poor people that are being killed right now in Syria.
That's sad.
That's racist also.
You know, here we are in the United States. We are somewhat muffled from all that to a point.
Yeah.
What should people do? I mean, on one hand, you know, you've got a family, you've got a guy, a woman working, trying to make a living for their family. Some are working, some are not. I mean, do they need to be concerned about world events, too?
I think so. I think one of the problems is that our news isn't news. It's propaganda for the most part on most of the channels and radio. So I make it a point of getting the news on PBS and BBC, and then watching the networks also, looking at the crawls primarily, and mostly to verify my predictions every week. You know, because I make predictions on my website, and they pretty much come true every week about what's in the news and what kind of a day you're going to have. I think all you can do is focus on your personal life, but there needs to be a greater consciousness about what's going on in the world because it affects us ultimately.
I know you got this ability from your mother. You know, you've talked to me about that over the years. By the way, today's my mother's birthday, so happy birthday, Mom.
Oh, happy birthday, yes.
And she went through a rough couple months, of course, as you know, with my dad passing on.
Yeah, but, and you too.
Well, these aren't easy times, Joseph.
No, you went through a rough year, you're going through a time right now up to your birthday where you're really reconsidering a lot of work issues and how you want to do the work and who you want to do it with. But that will pass, by the way. So today's her birthday. She's quite a lady.
I shall not mention her age.
No, but she's, that's a very close relationship between the two of them.
Yeah, she's a good person.
Yeah.
She's one of a kind, and she's mom. So, you know, that's...
Happy birthday, mom.
You know, we are who we are because of our parents. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, in fact, you know, people sometimes say, can I send you a picture? And I say, no. I mean, because I can read faces, which I've never told anybody. But if you look at the left eye, you can see what the relationship is to not only to mother, but to women. If you look at the right eye, you can see the effects of the father and relationship to men.
Interesting.
You'll see if you look at a picture and you look just at one side of the face. Psychologists could use that, by the way. You'll see anger. You'll see fear. I mean, the face may look normal to you, but if you just look at the eye, you'll see fear, anger, hurt,
all of those things, or an openness.
That's almost scientific, Joseph.
Yeah. It's something I've noticed for years.
All right, reach into your little bag of crystal balls here. Pull them out, and let's see what the future holds for us.
That's my table. I've got all these crystals on my table.
You do? I know that.
Yeah. Well, I did predict that the Pope was going to have a rough time of it in January, that he better not travel. His health is down, but now, you know, the butler did it, and the banker's out, and there are going to be all kinds of problems there. North Korea, I don't get this Un guy. You know, he looks like a Los Angeles gangster, you know? he looks like somebody from a gang in New York. You know, that situation, there's a lot of power struggle going on there. And
I'm not sure he's running the show.
Yeah, no, he's being pushed right now, in fact. And then Iran, if we keep the pressure on Iran, it will start to really go into effect after September 6th. It'll go into all kinds of drastic changes.
I got to tell you, I'm perplexed that the Iranian situation hasn't hit its peak yet. I thought by now someone would have attacked.
Well, let me tell you a secret. This is something I've never mentioned to anybody. For a few nights, just before I went to sleep, I decided I would, like the people in New Zealand, talk to ETs. And I negotiated with them an EMP over Iran, so that they could introduce themselves to us as friends. And this went on. I would talk, and of course I was at the same time saying, Joe, you're talking to yourself.
Was this in a dream?
No. I was like, just before I went to sleep,
all right,
I would be, if I can, you know, the brain is not only a receiver, it is a sender. That's how affirmations work and positive thinking works. So these conversations that I was making up in my head were going on. And at one point I said, look, how do I know that I'm really talking to you, that I'm not just making this up?
Right.
And I heard, open your eyes. I opened my eyes and I looked at the ceiling, and there was a grid of light, squares of light, like Christmas, those tiny little Christmas lights, perfect squares, a whole grid across my roof. And I closed my eyes, opened them again, and they started to melt like wax. And I heard, there. But I still don't know if I was talking to an ET or if I was inviting a spirit, because I saged my place.
So you're not sure yet?
Made it go away, yeah.
Well, you know what? Sometimes we always have that little voice in our head.
But
know?
I'm very leery of ETs. You know, 10 years ago, if a UFO landed on the street, I'd be the first one over there and say, hi, you know, let me in there.
And now you think there's another purpose?
I think there's some, you know, we have friends up there, but we, you know, some who even protect us, but we have sociopaths who have no feelings whatsoever, and kidnapping is against the law, you know?
Well, Joseph, I got to tell you, if we are all made out of the same primordial soup, and, you know, life is everywhere in the universe, I mean, then they're like us. And we are a fighting, warring group of human beings.
Exactly.
There's no reason, then, that these ETs, just because they might possess a little more knowledge and technology,
right,
would be anywhere less than us in
right.
terms
no
of
one, that. No one was more sophisticated in science and philosophy and music and art than the Germans. You know,
and look at them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you're right. You know, Stephen Hawking has warned people,
and I
don't send out signals.
Yeah,
don't let them know we're here.
Yeah, that's why I stopped. And while I was doing that, I was feeling all kinds of weird things going on in my life. So anyway, I think November, by the way, it could have some election problems, but also severe weather problems like February.
No, what do you mean by election problems?
Well, I think they're it's going to go to court, I think, again. And I think there's going to be malfeasance. I think also the heavy weather in November could keep people from voting. And since half of citizens don't vote at all, and they get the government they deserve, they might be those people might be reluctant to vote. So I think November's a rough month.
Okay, how about the Mayan calendar date? We're coming up to it. Here we go.
I think it'll come in like a whimper. I don't think anybody's going to notice anything, but I think there will be a change afterwards. That's what I've been saying for years, is we come to the end of the hell years, which started in the 14th, 15th century. And that's why they were taken by Cortez, you know. That's why they you know, gave in so easily.
You don't see a solar flare blasting us? I do.
Oh, wait, I do that, yeah.
I do, too.
Well, we're already experiencing, you know, high solar flares. Yeah, yeah. So that could be. And July also will be a lot of worries in the market as a result of things that happened in June. Scary things like more terrorism. I see a lot of demonstrations at both conventions. So it's a very dramatic year that we're in.
Is it an exciting year? I mean, would you trade places with any other civilization or any other time period?
No, I think we have a lot of very exciting things. You know, we were both you and I on the air were lamenting what was going on with NASA a year ago. And I said, yeah, but there's going to be new ways to get into space. And sure enough, there are all sorts of inventions and creativity going on in the United States and inventions that need to be tooled possibly here, too. It's not all bad, but it's very dramatic. Look, we come into this lifetime to learn certain lessons, each of us. I used to say a track. It's not quite like a railroad track. It's more like an open road. And we can change lanes. We can slow down. We can speed up. We can take an off-ramp for a while, get back on that road. But we have specific lessons and refinements to learn. And this is a schoolhouse. And we weren't supposed to stay in Eden. That was a setup to lose Eden. In Eden, we wouldn't have learned anything. But the moment that we left, we are here to fix ourselves and also to fix the planet.
Well, are we going to be able to fix the planet?
Well, I think each of us has to be concerned with you know, how we use the materials that we have, that we don't pollute. Look at the two Texas-sized garbage that's in the Pacific, you know, and now we have nuclear energy coming across the Pacific.
I know it. It's,
you know, I mean, we really
predicted.
Have to, you know, it's kind of like, it's either take the money and run, which is kind of where we've been in the last 10 years or more, maybe 30 years. And the corruption in Congress. I mean, you know, we still have a democracy. We still have freedom of speech. But every congressman and senator is spending 80% of his time raising money for his next election.
They always did.
Yeah. So I mean, that whole thing has to be changed. We need like 6-week elections. We don't need all these debates. You know, there has to be a revitalization in the country, and it's going to take the United States another 2-3 years to get back on its feet, and Europe as well.
Overall, you seem pretty positive about the future.
I think overall, each of us has to make it positive in our own way, within ourselves, within our relationships, and within the nations that we live in, you know. In other words, we're here to do some work, that's the way I do that's what's behind my readings. This is what you're here. These are your talents. This is what you came in, this is a situation you're learning from, your money situation, your relationship situation, your work or lack of it, you know, and how you handled your finances. I mean, all of those are lessons.
I'm telling you, you're like a counselor. Joseph's website, by the way, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's 800, that's the number, 800cself.com. 800cself.com. His toll-free number's the same, by the way. As we lead into phone calls here, Joseph, very briefly, tell us how this all happened for you. Relate that story of that little old man on the beach.
Well, you know, my mom was psychic, so I knew it was normal. I mean, she would tell me stories like, she once read someone and she said, "You killed somebody." And he said, "No, well, it's an accident. It was an accident, you know."
Wow.
And then another time, this woman's husband was lost in the war. She hadn't heard from him in 2 years. And my mother said, "He'll be back." And he was within a year or two, he was back. So there were these endless stories. And so I grew up with an interest in religion. All the religions. I read up all about all the religions by the time I was 18, 19, and then I got interested in astrology, although that never fit. I learned a numerological system that used multiplication, not the Pythagorean one, and I used it for poker games. I used to love to play poker. And I was a sensitive, and I didn't know it. People used to call me oversensitive. And because I couldn't process it, you know, and most of us are kind of divas at times. And then at the age of 40, after having had a few spiritual experiences, and I was also doing psychometry, I'd date a lady and I'd hold a piece of her jewelry and I'd say, "Oh, this was given to you by, I see the color violet. Oh, it was given to me by violet." And she was sad. Yes, she was. This jewelry was given to you by a black man. Yes, it was. You know, that kind of thing. So by the way, if you buy used stuff, you know, put it in salt water because it still has its aura. And in fact, I've had people say, "Things are happening around my house. I don't understand it." I said, "Did you buy used furniture recently?" "I have a sofa." I said, "Get rid of it. You know, you can't put it in salt water." But salt water or, you know, seawater, kosher salt, regular salt, will usually cleanse jewelry. You need to do that with your crystals also. But so I met this guy, Ian McLaren, a British guy on the beach.
He had a ferret with him, didn't he?
He what?
He had a ferret with him, didn't he?
No, he didn't. but he looked like a comic book guru, you know, with the long gray beard, long gray hair.
Maybe he looked like a ferret.
Maybe he did, yeah. And maybe he bit me once or twice. That's all, you know. So then he said, "What's your birthday?" And I said, "January 12th." And he said, "Oh, you're a two of spades." I said, "Yeah, okay, bye." Because there were a lot of loonies in walking around in Venice on the Venice Beach, but we became friends, and he taught me this card system, which I took to right away. It's almost as if I'd always known it.
Yeah, you did pick it up very fast.
And I started reading everybody and asking everybody's birthday. It was obnoxious almost. When my mother had cancer, I asked every doctor and nurse that came into the room what their birthday was. I looked at relationships. I started telling people stuff that they didn't think was true.
Do they want to hear these things?
Well, yeah, people are interested. You know, you'd be surprised how many doctors are interested in this. You know, I've read doctors, lawyers, psychologists, professors.
You're like a psychologist, I'm telling you.
Well, you know,
I mean, I've known you for so many years now. I mean, you act like a psychologist.
Well, a lot of the work is getting people to peacefully come to terms with their issues.
Well, Joseph, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take phone calls with you, and also if you want to share some of your stories of perhaps your own awakening, we'll let you do that too when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. Back in a moment, final hour with Joseph Jacobs on Coast to Coast AM.